This week, a Liberian nurse in Dallas said what was on many people's minds. Carolyn Wallo told reporters, "If I am Liberian, it does not mean I have Ebola." She was referring to a recent uptick in anti-African sentiment we're seeing not just in Dallas, but in the national media and online. Randell Dowda is a Liberian-American. She lives in Providence, Rhode Island, and she's the founder of the group PORMA. It's a charity that helps rebuild Liberian communities ruined by the civil wars that went on there for two decades. Remember, before Ebola, there was a long, bloody civil war in Liberia. Randell, have you been watching the American news lately? What have you seen?
Yes, I have. I've seen that all of a sudden Liberia has become a public news, and everybody's been asking. Before, I had to introduce myself, say where I was from, and I had to say where it was. But I think now everybody knows where Liberia is, and then unfortunately it's known just because of the Ebola situation right now.
Right, and sadly, as I mentioned before that, it was known for a civil war. How is this new dubious reputation of Ebola striking you? How does it feel?
A lot of things. I've always had to, not defend, but I had to, like, somewhere that I knew to be my home. I've found myself always trying to say, you know, the Liberia that I know, or the Liberia that I came from, before it was a civil war. A lot of times when I told people, I said, oh my God, you lived through that, and, you know, you're here because of that. And now I have to constantly be saying, you know, I'm from Liberia, and I was there. I was there in July, actually. I came back July 4th. So I have to say, no, I came before the Ebola thing got big. I have to keep, you know, have to remind people that, you know, I am from Liberia, but I live here.
Randell, I'm just curious. I mean, you started this group, PORMA, helping rebuild communities back in your home country post-Civil War there. How has the Ebola outbreak changed what your group is doing?
Well, it has changed a lot. I was supposed to go back in December of this year. Obviously, I'm not going to go back. I have no idea when it's going to be over. I mean, in a way, it's almost like I don't even know if I'm going to have a charity to go back to if this goes the way it's supposed to go.
What about the Liberian community where you live in Providence, Rhode Island? How big is it?
Well, we have about 1,500 Liberian people here in Rhode Island. It's one of the biggest Liberian communities in the United States. So, yes, there's a lot of people here. Like I said, I think speaking to a lot of other people, since the case in Dallas, we've shifted from a preventative method to more of a defensive now. I feel like everybody's approaching us not with the sense of, oh, my God, I'm going to help. It's more like, how can I stay away from you?
Wow.
Because you are from this place where this thing's happening.
Are you, as you speak with the Liberians in Rhode Island, in your community there, are you finding that they're also sensing the stigma that you're a Liberian, therefore?
Yes, the stigma is very huge, actually. A church member of mine had talked about it on Sunday, that he spoke to someone who relative had came in from Liberia, and he needed a ride home, but his family members apparently were waiting for the 21-day period, so he was kind of homeless, I guess. So he had went to the church, and they were talking about it on Sunday after church, a bunch of Liberians. My church has a huge Liberian population.
What exactly has this case in Dallas of this Mr. Duncan done to your organization? Have you seen any change in donations in the last week?
Not any change in the donations. I can't say that. I think just the stigma. I think it's shifted to now people are afraid of other people coming in, because before it wasn't as harmful. It wasn't as real. People were okay with the fact that we're helping people as far away as Liberia is. But now it's like it's on their front stairs. Like it's right here. So it's gotten a little scary when you go approach people and talk about this disease that's now could potentially be here, because people are living here who are Liberians, and people are flying. And maybe someone's on that flight with Mr. Duncan that actually came to Providence, Rhode Island. So people are really, you know, scared, and Liberians find themselves trying to defend themselves in some way. Me personally, I think I am very disappointed in what happened, but I think we have to focus on this as an issue because a lot of other people are dying, and I am just hoping that we can attack this instead of pointing fingers. I'm hoping we can attack this as a community and hopefully eradicate this disease as soon as possible.
Randell Dowda, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Randell Dowda is a Liberian-American living in Providence, Rhode Island. I also spoke today with Peggy Halverson from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. She's involved with a different charity doing work in Liberia. In 2010, Peggy and her husband formed Teamwork Africa, which raises money to build schools and water wells for clean drinking water in Liberia. Peggy, sounds like Teamwork Africa kind of jumped into the chaotic breach following Liberia's civil war to help put things back together. Now this, how did Ebola change what you do in Liberia?
It really changed the direction of the outreach that we had there just tremendously. I was hoping to go to Liberia in August to start a school, and instead of doing that, I've been traveling around Western Wisconsin raising money to help fight Ebola.
So what will those funds that you've been raising actually do, and are you finding that there's a lot of positive reaction to what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, as soon as the outbreak really was public at the end of July, the very first promotion that they started to make a difference was hand washing buckets and sanitation. And so almost right away, our friends in Liberia that run the programs that we do said that that was the focus that they wanted to take, was to take hand washing buckets to their community and start educating people on how to stay safe from Ebola.
What does a bucket actually achieve? Explain that.
It's just with a little bit of bleach in the water, it's a sanitation system that washes the disease and germs off of your hands. And for the communities that we have reached out to, only two homes have had cases of Ebola when they've had those buckets. And in those cases, it was someone from the outside who had come to stay with them who had already been exposed. And so even today, I was talking to someone who was in a conference call with the CDC, and they're still advocating for those hand-washing buckets to be a first line of defense against Ebola in Liberia.
Yeah, it's such a simple solution, isn't it?
It is. It is, and it really is making a difference. And not only just the hand washing, but also the education piece is tremendous in teaching people to, you know hugging, no shaking hands, get treatment right away, call somebody if you're feeling ill. All of those things are really important in lessening the spread.
Peggy, in terms of your own morale and what you do, I mean, it must be tough on, you know, just what Liberia means to you. I mean, you were building schools, and now school is suspended. Kids can't go to school.
It's very challenging. I wish that I were in Liberia. I wish that I could be there and continue to do the work that we started. It's really hard not knowing when I'm going to be able to go back. I get a call almost every day from Liberia to let me know how the people that I know and care about are doing. And I'm hopeful. I'm still hopeful that, you know, someday soon these things will clear up and we'll get back to the work that needs to be done. But I'm also concerned about how this disease has devastated the limited resources that were available, and the fragile structure of government and society that existed is damaged, you know, beyond where it was before. So we've actually taken several huge steps backwards. At the very beginning of this outbreak in the summer, we lost two of our children, and we've lost two nurses that were working in healthcare facilities. And those losses are devastating. You know, I'm so thankful that over the last few weeks, since we've gotten buckets to our families and communities, we haven't had any new cases within our contacts there.
When you say you lost two of your children, you mean two of the beneficiaries of what Teamwork Africa does?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a program called Starfish Kids, and it's our child sponsorship program. And early in the outbreak, two of our sponsored children died of Ebola.
I'm sorry to hear that. Why did you get involved in Liberia in the first place? What was the initial draw and attraction?
Yeah, my husband and I were interested in adopting, and we had done a research on a lot of different options and made some connections that opened the door for us to adopt internationally from Liberia. And while we were waiting for that to go through, one of the two children we hoped to adopt died of cholera. And just learning more about the country and the water condition there just really felt like we needed to do something more in that country. And so we started Teamwork Africa by working through churches to meet needs in their communities. And one of the hugest needs in the rural areas of Liberia is clean water. And we still have not been able to adopt from Liberia. There's still a little boy there that we sponsor and support. But that's how we got involved.
Peggy Halverson, very nice to meet you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.